Rest humid today with sunshine and some clouds, the high 83. Tonight, partly cloudy and humid, a shower or thunderstorm in spots late, low 63 inland, 68 lakeside. Tomorrow, intervals of clouds and sunshine with a shower or thunderstorm in the area, high temperature 84. Thursday, mostly sunny, warm and humid, high 85. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, AM 1400 WRJN.
Thank you, EA. Right now, we have sunshine dominating the region at 76 at Kenosha, 72 at the Municipal Airport in Burlington, 79 at Milwaukee's Mitchell Field, and in Racine at WRJN, 77 degrees. The winds are out of the northwest at 7 miles an hour. The dew point at 68 degrees. The relative humidity at 73%, and the barometric pressure is rising at 30.01. It is 11 minutes after 9 o'clock, and good morning. It's a beautiful day in Wisconsin for a tremendous Tuesday, August 16, 2016, the only 8-16-2-0-16 in the history of humanity. Let us choose on purpose, with a purpose, to give a great day. Welcome in, you beautiful humans. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein, along with my tag team partner on these Tuesday community conversations. And she is the junior senator from the great state of Wisconsin, Senator Tammy Baldwin. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I have no complaints, ma'am, but thank you for caring enough to ask.
Oh.
It's an historic day for us here at the radio, so at least for me, getting to meet you for the first time.
Oh.
And you're in town for a specific reason, aren't you?
I am. This is a day that I'm going to be able to meet with community leaders and tour some of the shoreline erosion. Back in May, when some significant erosion was occurring, my office got involved, and I have had staff on the scene looking and assisting local officials with contact with the Army Corps of Engineers, and trying to get emergency assistance. But I haven't seen it with my own eyes, and that's always helpful in terms of my bringing back the message when we get back in session and trying to see what we can do to help. But this is deeply disturbing to see so much of the shoreline eroding each year, in part due to real changing water levels in Lake Michigan.
Oh, I thought the specific reason that you were coming to Racine was to meet me.
Well, absolutely.
It is really an honor to meet you, regardless of one's political perspective. In this era of political firsts, our first African-American president, certainly all the polls indicate we're going to get our first woman president, and you are the first openly gay senator in United States history. How much burden do you feel about that?
You know, since I've been out my entire time in public service, there wasn't any significant change going to the U.S. Senate. But if I look back to the early days in the 80s and 90s, I know that this was such a rarity that I inspired others to be out and honest about who they are and involved in public service. And that is, I wouldn't call it a burden, it's an honor in many ways. When you meet a young person who wants nothing more than to give back to their community, to be a leader in their community, and maybe didn't think that they would have a chance to do that, and sees my example and goes for it, and we've benefited throughout our whole society because of that. And so, just like I think a lot of little girls and little boys watched Hillary Clinton accept the nomination at the Democratic Convention last month, and will say, "Oh, that glass ceiling isn't as much an obstacle as I thought it was."
How old were you when you knew that you were gay?
I was in college.
And what was your upbringing like that led to that moment of recognition?
I would say, what I would say is that it was a discovery at that moment, and I don't think about it. I'll tell you what my upbringing was like. Here in Wisconsin, I was raised by my maternal grandparents, And my grandfather was a professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and my grandmother worked on the staff. She actually was the head costume designer for the university theater. So I had a good scientific and artistic background. I was very fortunate that my grandparents were there for me, and raised through the Wisconsin public school system, and then off to college.
Were your grandparents supportive right away?
So my grandfather sadly passed away in my between my junior and senior year of college. And I was home that summer, and first time anybody who I dearly loved had died, and it was a very sad time, but I also wanted to be there for my grandmother. So immediately after I graduated from college, I resolved that since I had gone to college out of state, that I was going to move back to Wisconsin to care for her. She was pretty fiercely independent until she was about 90, but I was gradually helping her with more and more things, and then became really a primary caregiver for her in her early 90s. She was very supportive, and I think if anything, not unlike other people in a parental role, wanted the best for me and wanted me to be successful in whatever I chose to do. She was proud that I chose public service. And if there was any worry, I think it was just that this would be an obstacle to my success from her perspective as somebody born in 1906.
When the Supreme Court ruled that gay and lesbian people have an equal right to marriage, the White House that night was lit up in rainbow colors. How advisable do you think it is for those who are winning on a political issue, especially an issue like that that has been so strifeful for our society, to kind of rub it in their face?
I wouldn't characterize this. I wouldn't characterize it in the same way you just have at all. I think that we're a country that does celebrate the strength of our families and the strength of our communities. And that there was a wide recognition, frankly, regardless of what side you are on the marriage issue, that families are stronger if they can protect one another. We'd been having that debate for some time. And that this was a leap forward in our country's progression towards the ideal of a more perfect union. I wouldn't characterize it the way you did at all.
But can you imagine the people that were opponents to legalizing gay marriage, how they must have been feeling that day? And these are some of your constituents, by the way. And then to see the White House lit up in gay pride colors.
Again, I don't see it that way, and I think we also had, I think of the other milestones, and I do not believe that it's a direct analogy to talk about the Loving versus Virginia case decided in the early 70s, striking down the ban on interracial marriage where they existed in several states. I don't think it's a direct analogy, but I do think that it is sort of a follow-on in terms of our historical arc of granting freedoms and rejecting old notions, and to be celebrated.
This is Glenn Klein on WRJN's Community Conversations. She is the junior senator from the great state of Wisconsin, Senator Tammy Baldwin. So if Senator Feingold defeats Senator Johnson in the November election, does he become the junior senator?
Yes.
So
didn't take me long to answer that question, did it? He and I have a joke going back and forth that make me the senior senator from the state.
What kind of perks come with being the senior senator other than the title?
You know, seniority in the institution has some perks in terms of trying to become a subcommittee chair or subcommittee ranking member. All of that is based on seniority. when you're fairly senior, then you can look at full committee chairmanships. And for those of us like me, who's sort of a policy nerd, that is one of the things that I would aspire to do, is be able to lead one of the substantive committees and advance legislation important to my constituents and important to this nation, and try to break some of the gridlock that we've been seeing in Washington, in the Senate. I think it's also fair to say that you get a preference when you draw for offices. But a lot of us don't change from year to year because it's such a hassle to pack everything up. Although a good move every few years, as you probably know, Glenn, from your recent move to Wisconsin, you know, to go through all your things and sort through all your things is good to do every so often and clean out the file drawers. What happens is that each class elected to the Senate has also a ranking within their class, and should Russ Feingold win, and I'm certainly working hard in that direction, he would very likely be first or second in his class. Now that Evan Bayh has joined the race in Indiana, I can't remember. I think Russ is senior to him if he won.
Demonstrating that she's not only a good listener but a good politician, by referencing my move from Florida back to Wisconsin, she is Senator Tammy Baldwin on WRJN's Community Conversation on this Tuesday morning. So governmentally, if you were able to wave a magic wand and say this is the one thing that I would have as the top priority and that I would have passed in the U.S. Senate, would be signed by the president, would be cooperated with by the House of Representatives, what would that one thing be?
You know, I'm going to pick something that's sort of really on my mind right now. I just introduced a bill along with Senator Cory Booker from New Jersey called the Stronger Way Act. And it is a poverty reduction bill that is based on the dignity of work. And so many in our society have barriers to employment that we have to more aggressively assist them with so that they can get jobs. So the components of it are transitional jobs programs. They already exist, but ramping them up to scale nationwide. And secondly, two tax policies, the earned income tax credit. Right now, single individuals or individuals whose children are for whatever reason, not considered dependents. Maybe they're older and out of the house. There are single people who work full-time right now at low wages who are taxed into poverty. And so opening up the earned income tax credit to workers without dependents, as well as expanding the family tax credit, and then the child tax credit would literally lift tens of millions of working people out of poverty. And in a week where frustrations over lack of hope and opportunity are very visible and very, you know, heartbreaking in communities in Milwaukee, across the state also, where we hear about massive potential layoffs in areas of our state, something like this is really needed. And you know, there's been a conversation about poverty, and to my former colleague's credit, Paul Ryan has been talking a lot about the need for Republicans to lead on poverty reduction, but that leadership has not come in the form of reforms and legislation that are actionable. What I've just introduced is actually based on research done here in Wisconsin. And I think it would make a huge difference. And in, you know, we've tried trickle down. Now it's time to try trickle up.
She is Senator Tammy Baldwin. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN's Community Conversation, along with Mark Eichhorst.
Senator, I know you said you're in town today to view the erosion, but last time I think you were in town, you viewed our waterfront,
yes, and
including the potential of the machinery row area, which is a pet project of Mayor John Dickert. How did you view that area? And I know you also passed a revitalization bill that has helped that project.
Yeah, so let's start with, in many ways, Racine was the inspiration for that legislation you just described, the Waterfront Communities Revitalization and Resiliency Act. I had taken a tour of the Root River waterfront to the degree that the public can even get to it, which is somewhat restricted. Some years ago, when I first became a senator for the state of Wisconsin, and it was the first of many conversations with leaders from waterfront communities in Wisconsin, where the river told the history of the community, as does the Lake Michigan. But we have, you know, if you go to a website for a community, Wisconsin Rapids, where Wausau, or whatever, you'll often see, like, founded in 18-something on this river or on this waterway, and it's the water that caused the settlement and the economic opportunities of the area and why it was settled, why people were attracted there. And yet, if you visit many of these communities today, you'll see some of that 100-plus-year-old infrastructure still in place. And an inability in these very fiscally constrained times to create the resiliency and to attract the new water-dependent industries that can provide the jobs of the future. And so all of these communities across our state are at some stage of saying, how do we rethink for the 21st century our presence as a waterfront community, our ambitions, our dreams? And this bill came out of those discussions really to say, we understand that the funding is hard to come by, but that doesn't prevent us from dreaming big, getting maybe from outside, maybe from the federal government, some of the expertise to plan comprehensively and then implement these plans as you're able to raise the money, gather the funds together and the resources together. It might be private investment, it might be grants, it might be a priority that a city council has to go ahead with funding something from the tax base. Whatever it is, it's so important that we don't do it piecemeal if we're going to be resilient into the 21st century.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. You have to dream big. You have to almost take a gamble once in a while in order. And if you do, I believe that's one of the keys to succeeding. Also, the first time I met you was out in Union Grove on Memorial Day weekend this year. And I've always said that's one of the most impressive Memorial Day services in our community. And you added to that this year. And right now, I believe you're holding some roundtables with veterans and businessmen to talk about jobs for veterans, which is so important to me, because I think if there's one term out there that bothers me the most is homeless veterans. Nobody should be homeless, but when you hear that term homeless veteran, it really bothers me. You just wonder how that can happen.
Absolutely. It is a tragedy. And I mean, we just think about the basic facts. These individuals, especially this generation of veterans, volunteered to serve us in harm's way. They have fulfilled more than we could ever ask, and they return, and they have earned and deserve our finest, whether that's health care or the educational benefits, and a path to a career that supports families. So the BRAVE Act is what I was able to, what we had a conversation about yesterday with a group of representatives of veteran service organizations and the Wisconsin Veterans Chamber of Commerce and others. We have long given preference when the VA contracts with outside vendors to veteran-owned businesses, as we should. We have seldom given recognition for those non-veteran employers who have made it a personal priority or a firm priority to hire veterans in high percentages. And it's time we recognize that. It has a multiplier effect. And so this would enable the VA to do that. The VA purchases all sorts of services and contracts with so many different agencies, whether it's for services or medical devices or what have you. And we sure ought to be providing a way for the VA to recognize businesses that hire veterans and make that a priority.
She is Junior Senator Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin. I know you got to go. But she hopes to be the senior senator coming up here in November. So you measuring for the new drapes for the new office?
Not a chance.
Not yet. Well, thanks for coming.
I like the sunshine to come in with no drapes. Thanks.
Well, thanks for coming in. And it was a pleasure meeting you and really appreciate your service. And safe travels all over the area this morning.
Thank you so much.
The great Tom Carco is standing by in the news center with the WRJ News coming next.
Farmers, are you looking for a change of pace or supplemental income? Have you considered becoming a full-time or seasonal truck driver? Many farmers have done it already, and Schneider is hiring truck drivers now throughout Illinois, Iowa, and Wisconsin. Schneider.